Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Good morning across the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide, the Civic Media app. I'm Todd Albaugh. It is Monday, the 27th of February, 2023. Glad to be back. Back with a live show. Fresh off a little trip out to the West Coast, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer, engineer. However, he has been silenced. No, not by the FCC, not by Civic Media, but by technology. Once again, our board having some gremlins in the system, so he is working on it. I understand that we had a little chat a couple of minutes before I went on the air, and I believe he was a Manitowoc back in his home stomping ground, so he got a little bit of R&R in. As far as me, this weekend, like I said, I was not with you, as you may or may not know, on Friday. Appreciate you tuning in, though, some great best of episodes, along with General May. We had Rick Wilson from the Project Lincoln, or Lincoln Project, and also Kira Sabin, so a great repeat show there. And appreciated having all those folks back on the show. Appreciated you listening. I was out in Seattle, and with the youngest godson, Jason, and his parents, Kurt and Florcy, and we did some, it was just like that episode House Hunters, or on Home and Garden, and where you kind of go look at different properties, and at the end, you have to pick a property. And so Jason was going around, and I kind of took notes, and his parents were asking questions, and he did a great job on his own. We were just kind of there as the support team. And so basically looked at five different properties, and then at the end, we found a nice little local brew pub there. We sat down, each had a pint, and then discussed, and he narrowed it down, and so has a nice place, I think, out there to be in Seattle. He is going out to work for Department of Defense, Department of the Navy. He's not actually full-time enlisted military, but he is going to be working as a civilian support on working on aircraft carriers. After earning a Bachelor's of Science from the University of Wisconsin-Madison in engineering, specifically mechanical engineering, aerospace, a rocket science, for lack of a better term. Smart dude, and very proud of him. Got a job with Department of Defense. Going to be working primarily, I believe, on aircraft carriers, kind of the launch systems for the planes off of aircraft carriers. So we went, and so this base, the Naval Air Base, is not in Seattle proper. It's basically across the bay on the north side, northwest side. And you can either take a ferry from Seattle, or you could drive right over to the town is called Bremerton. And so I spent the weekend in a Bremerton Airbnb. Very nice. Found a couple of nice coffee places locally as well. Had a nice cup of coffee, which you have to do, of course, when you're in Seattle. And got to get up close. I mean, not on base, because he's not technically working there yet. And probably the rest of us couldn't have gotten on, even if he was. But there was a parking lot just before you go in the base, right on the bay, and got pretty darn close, you know, just across the water, a couple, three docks from these destroyers. And the Teddy Roosevelt, USS Teddy Roosevelt aircraft carrier, is in dock right now for a retrofitting. Moved from, I believe, San Diego up to Bremerton Naval Air Station in Seattle for a refitting, basically, or to kind of bring it up to speed. And guess what? We did a little research. The captain of the USS Teddy Roosevelt, Captain Shrum, I'm not sure exactly how he pronounces it, is from Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. So there you go. You never know, you know, when you're gonna find a Wisconsinite. And it was great to be there and see that beautiful aircraft carrier, the Teddy Roosevelt. And it just reminds you of the sacrifices and the strength, the endurance, and the smarts of the men and women who serve directly in our nation's military, but also those like my godson, my youngest godson, who will be supporting them. And my hats are off to them. We don't thank them enough. If you know a veteran, say thank you. If you see an active duty personnel, say thank you. Because if not for them, we would not all enjoy the freedoms and opportunities that we all have. So, actually, we kind of took a little bit of Wisconsin out to Seattle, and now apparently we brought Seattle back to Wisconsin. Because at least here at Madison, it is raining, and raining very steadily. And it's a cold rain. Don't you like it when people say a cold, wet rain? Well, what other kind of rain is there besides a wet rain? But it is a cold rain. It goes kind of right through here in Madison. I know many school districts north of Madison are either 2 hour delayed or have canceled altogether due to ice and also some other winter activity. Let's take a look at your weather forecast for you here on this 27th of February, 2023. Good Lord, almost through the month of February already. Can't believe it. Here's your weather forecast for Southwest Wisconsin, WRCE in Richland Center. A hazardous weather outlook this morning. Rain, mainly before 3 p.m. Breezy and, of course, cold. Winds are temperatures are only going to be about 38 degrees today, but it will feel colder with the winds gusting out of the east. Also about 3/4 inch of rain expected today, so be careful. Some localized flooding may occur. Then for tonight, mostly cloudy, a low of 26. And tomorrow, Tuesday, partly sunny and a high of 43. Looking up to our friends at WXCO, Bull Falls Radio in Wausau this morning. Taking a look up there, and we can see that they are under a winter storm warning today from now until 6 p.m. tonight. Today, expect snow showers and freezing rain is going to be the culprit in Wausau today. Snow after that. All said and done, about 2 inches of snow on the ground in Wausau today, and Amory winter storm warning as well. About a 3/10 inch of ice possible. So be careful up there at Amory. Back with more headlines for you after this on the Todd Audible Show and Civic Media. Welcome back to the Todd Audible Show and Civic Media. It is now 15 past the hour of 8 o'clock on this Monday, the 27th of February, 2023. Glad to have you along with us. So Mr. Aaron Zommers is here on the board as per usual. However, his mic is not working, so perhaps we'll get him a little bit later, either on the mic or he'll call in again. We'll have a little Mr. No, he's like the sad clown that can't talk, only like do sounds and all right. That's a little creepy, to be honest. I think, was there a clown of Mr. Rogers? No, it was like there was Bozo the Clown at the same time as Mr. Rogers, it was on CBS in the morning. Captain Kangaroo. There was Captain Kangaroo and Mr. Green Jeans and the Rabbit and Mr. Moose. I don't think there was a clown, though, but perhaps. I don't know. Anyway, I feel like I did a little bit wrong there on Amory. We had a cut off there because Todd wasn't keeping track of the clock. So let me give you the full forecast real quick for Amory for today. Winter storm warning in effect for the Amory area for today. Until 6 p.m. tonight, snow showers, but freezing rain is the real culprit up in Amory today. Going to be a high near 32 degrees, so perfect conditions for Amory today as far as making snow or freezing rain. Chance of precipitation 100% today, and again, maybe 2/10, 3/10 inch of ice, and then 2 inches of snow. So sometimes that can do more damage in terms of trying to get around than 17 inches of snow or whatever they had up there last week. So be careful of that if you are in Amory today. Basically a line, Richland Center north, kind of from the Dells north. That's where a lot of the freezing rain is going to happen. But even in the southern part of the state, Richland Center and to the south could be areas where there was ice or snow and now this rain falls on top of it. So you have flooding. Plus, you have ice, so please just allow extra time this morning and drive safely if you are on the roads here in Wisconsin. Here's what you need to know on this Monday, the 27th, 17 past the hour, 8 o'clock. Here are your news headlines, what you need to know. Winter storm is the big headline of the day. A barrage of snow, rain, and harsh winds is forecast from the West Coast to the Great Lakes today, following a similar string of severe weather last week. Approximately 284,000 homes and businesses were without power across the U.S. as much of this morning, about half of which were in Michigan, where the region is bracing for another round of ice and snow. More than 100 other storm reports were recorded in parts of the central U.S. as hurricane-force winds and thunderstorms tore through various states overnight. A gust of 114 miles per hour was recorded in Texas, the equivalency to a Category 3 hurricane. Meanwhile, the West is experiencing a separate system of rain and high elevation snow that will push from the Pacific Northwest down to California, where some rare blizzard warnings remain in effect. And again, I was out in Seattle over the weekend, and we had snow out in Seattle. Not a lot, as I like to say, just enough to track a cat when you woke up in the morning. On our last day, perhaps just a bit more than that. But it was chilly. Got down into the upper 20s at night, low 30s, and then barely broke 40 during the day. So, but most of the time, it was pretty sunny, which I was happy about, and no rain while we were there. So a little bit of snow and sun. But certainly they are experiencing some very different weather than they are used to in the Pacific Northwest. And then talked to a friend of mine, Nelson, out in Los Angeles last night, where they are just experiencing torrential rains. And so all of that is now moving into the Great Plains and the Midwest. So again, be careful wherever you are at today. COVID-19, the U.S. Department of Energy has assessed that the COVID-19 pandemic most likely came from a laboratory leak in China. The new assessment further adds to the divide in the U.S. government over whether the pandemic began in China in 2019 as the result of a lab leak or whether it emerged naturally. Various intelligence agencies have been split on the matter. Quote, right now, there is not a definitive answer that has emerged from the intelligence community on this question. Unquote. So said National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan to CNN on Sunday, noting that President Joe Biden has put resources into getting to the bottom of the origin question. The U.S. began exploring the possibility that COVID-19 spread in a lab as early as April 2020. Though intelligence officials have said a lack of cooperation from Beijing has made it difficult to attain answers. Student loan news. President Biden's student loan forgiveness plan goes before the U.S. Supreme Court tomorrow. Millions of student loan borrowers could see, up to $20,000 of their debt canceled depending on the outcome of the hearing. It is unclear exactly when the Supreme Court will issue its decision, but typically the justices release their ruling by the end of the current term around late June or early July. The ruling also will determine when payments on federal student loans will resume after a pandemic-related pause that has been in place for nearly 3 years. The justices are expected to hear arguments in two cases tomorrow concerning the program, which is estimated to cost $400 billion. Overseas now to Turkey. Nearly 200 people have been arrested for alleged poor building construction following the catastrophic earthquake that struck Turkey earlier this month. Turkey's justice ministry said that according to officials in the region, more than 5,700 buildings in Turkey collapsed in the magnitude 7.8 quake, which killed about 50,000 people in Turkey and Syria. The widespread destruction came after building codes were tightened in the wake of previous disasters, which should have ensured that modern builds would withstand large tremors. However, many buildings that were damaged or collapsed appear to have been newly constructed. Residents and experts are now questioning if the government failed to take the necessary steps to enforce building regulations. SpaceX news now. SpaceX and NASA called off an astronaut launch to the International Space Station this morning with about 2 minutes left on the countdown clock. Engineers put the mission on hold at 1:45 a.m. Eastern Time after an issue was detected with the rocket's ignition fluid. Once the problem is resolved, the rocket will launch two NASA astronauts, a Russian cosmonaut, and an astronaut from the United Arab Emirates into the International Space Station, where they will spend up to 6 months carrying out scientific experiments and maintaining the two-decade-old space station. NASA said that it will aim to launch on Thursday, depending on resolution of the technical issue preventing Monday's launch. And 1.8 million, that's how many gallons of contaminated waste have been removed from the toxic rain derailment site in East Palestine, Ohio, according to the Office of Governor Mike DeWine. Concerns are now emerging about where the waste is going after officials said it would have been processed at two EPA-certified sites in Ohio. Meanwhile, officials in Texas and Michigan recently complained they didn't receive any warning that waste from the crash would be shipped into their jurisdictions for disposal. It continues on. It continues on in Ohio. We're going to talk a little bit more in depth about it this morning in terms of what Republicans are trying to make out of this. They're trying to pin this on Pete Buttigieg and the Secretary of Transportation is having none of it. And when we come back here in a couple of minutes, we're going to talk about Pete Buttigieg and all that. Also, our own very homegrown United States Congressman, Glenn Grothman. You know, I know Glenn. He's not a stupid guy, but apparently didn't take enough time to figure out who actually oversees the National Transportation Safety Board, along with several other Republicans, as it turns out. Because they wrote a letter to Secretary Buttigieg demanding answers, demanding a better investigation, not realizing that the National Traffic Safety Board is an independent authority and is not part of the National Department of Safety and Transportation. Just, you know, a minor glitch. It's amazing to me. And I worked in Congress, not as a congressman, but I worked as a staffer almost 5 years in the 90s. To think that a letter is written and signed by over 100 members of Congress and nobody caught this? I mean, this happens all the time where letters are sent around either at the federal level or the state level. And it's the staffer's job to read the letter and make sure that it's accurate. Yes, the member will hopefully look at it, but oftentimes they'll say, have you looked this over? And what that means is, have you checked it? Do you know that it's correct before I put my name on it? It's nobody teaching young staffers how to be a staffer in Congress anymore. Is nobody teaching them that you have to actually know the facts before you suggest to your member that they put their name and handwritten signature on it? Of course, what could also happen, almost every member has a signature stamp. And you just dip that or put that on an ink pad, and then you can, quote unquote, sign your member's name onto something like this if they're not around. But you darn better well make sure that your boss said it was okay to do that. And most likely would have read the letter to them if they couldn't see it in person. Nowadays, of course, you can email it to them or whatever, you know, text it to them, WhatsApp it to them. Back in the 90s, we actually had to either read the letter over the phone or, you know, fax it or mail it. That was it. But it's remarkable to me that I think it was 121. We'll have the story here in a second. But over 100 members of Congress, Republicans, signing a letter and not realizing that a major body such as the National Transportation Safety Board is not a part of the Department of Transportation. It really makes you wonder who is in control. I mean, with Republicans in charge, I'm not saying this to be funny. It makes you wonder, you know, what's going on? You've heard me say this before. If you listen to the program, and I'll say it again, people used to ask me, Todd, don't you see a lot of corruption in Congress and in the state Senate, government in general? I say, no, actually not. Most people, elected officials, most people run for the right reason. Whether you agree with their positions or not, they do it because they believe in something and they want what they believe or what others believe to become law. Or that's the way the state or the country should be governed. So most of the time, people start out with the best of intentions. Little by little, money creeps in, and yes, they can become corrupted, but no, not at first. I say it's not the corruption that would shock you. It's the incompetence. The incompetence. It's amazing how many things are done, both at the federal and the state level. Legislators vote on things in committee. They sign letters to make things happen. And they've never read them. Never read them. Happens all the time. Legislators vote for things on the floor of the state Senate or state assembly. United States Congress, the United States Senate, vote for things that they have no clue what's really in there. They rely on their staffers. Sometimes they rely on lobbyists to tell them. If you have a good lobbyist, like my friend Eric England, who used to be the lobbyist for the insurance industry, he'll tell you what's in there, the good, the bad, the ugly. If you got a bad lobbyist, they'll hang you out to dry. That's why you got to read the fine details. Come back. We'll talk more about this and take your phone calls. This is the Todd Allbull Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Allbull Show. It is now 8:33 on a Monday, the 27th of February, 2023. Glad to have you back along with us. After being off on Friday, going to be back after a little jaunt out to Seattle with the godson of Curtin Forsey. His parents, my compadres. Great word. We don't have the equivalent in English. I have to say, like, the parents of my godson, which is fine. It's just kind of a mouthful, right? The parents of my godson. Better just to say mi compadres. Literally means co-parents. It's a beautiful word. I love it. Unfortunately, we don't have that in the English language, but back with you on a Monday, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers as well. He has laryngitis this morning. Not really. He has technical laryngitis, as his microphone over there is not working, so we are working on that. Hopefully, I know. That's the only way you can communicate with sound effects this morning. But we will be working on that, trying to bring him in a little bit later. However, the microphone that is working is our weatherology meteorologist, Kara Foster. And Kara joins us now. Kara, all of a sudden, I was telling folks I've been out in Seattle over the weekend where they had temperatures in the 30s with snow at night and sunny skies, kind of winter. And now I come back here and we got Seattle weather with rain on a Monday. Kind of a crazy all over the states.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've been watching the system since last week. It was actually hitting California. It actually brought snow to Southern California, and they had a blizzard warning for the first time since 2005. And then along the coast, I mean, like LA in that area saw like 4 to 5 inches of rain from this system. So I've been watching it pretty closely as it's kind of moved through. And then last night it brought severe weather throughout the Midwest. There was a few tornadoes, I think, in Kansas and Oklahoma. And yeah, just a lot of severe weather kind of moving on. And then I was watching it kind of creep towards us, and I was like, okay, maybe you can get some thunder. Kind of excited to, yeah, I love working in thunderstorms. It's such a cozy vibe.
Right?
It's so nice. And I mean, I work overnights. I'm off here at 9 a.m. So I work from 1 to 9. So I would love to have a nice little cozy vibe during it. But no, it immediately turned purple as soon as it came over here.
Yeah.
And was not what we wanted. And unfortunately, with the warmer temperatures, always comes is a fun time in winter, because that means you have the mixed precipitation. You're like, hey, it's 36 outside, but that means that there's going to be like snow, sleet, like freezing rain, everything in between. Unfortunately, that's kind of what we're looking at today.
Yeah, exactly. It looks like down here, like I say, in Madison right now, we're getting mostly rain. I know just a little bit north, there's a band of freezing rain. And even further south, looks like some snow. So we trust your expertise. If you'd be so very kind, break it all down for us and let us know what we're in for today on a Monday, the 27th of February.
For sure. I mean, that's basically it. It's going to stay that way for a good chunk of the day, where the southern portion of the state, like right just kind of a few counties up from the southern border, are going to see only rain. So basically a lot of those areas, including Madison and beyond, kind of just a set stretch there, will see just kind of rain today. A little bit up further than that, a little throughout central and kind of west central of the state, we'll see more of the freezing rain aspect. And then the northeastern portion will see the freezing rain, but mostly the snow portion of it. So it's kind of a cake. It's like a three-tier cake almost. Not the best cake, obviously. But basically from the central portion of the state and up, we do have a winter storm warning that does conclude at about 6 p.m. So essentially, I'll kind of go through southern southern portion of the state first. It's mainly just going to be rain today. Like I said, we're not expecting much other than that, or we're going to reach a high of 39. Could be a little breezy out there. Northeast winds about 10 to 20, gusting as high as 30, and that's for Richland Center. As we head into tonight, we'll stay cloudy, dip down to 26. For Amory and Wausau, it's going to be much of the same for both areas. They're going to see a chance for some freezing rain and snow showers today, reaching a high of 32 in Wausau and 35 in Amory. Mainly freezing rain is the main aspect as to why we have this winter storm warning. So they're expecting that until about 9, 10 a.m. this morning. Then it will transfer into rain, maybe some sleet and snow in there as well. They could expect about a half an inch possible of ice accumulation. So that's where it gets pretty serious. Of course, we had that big system come through last week, and now we have this to kind of top it all off. So not only is there black ice possible, but then also on top of the areas that still have the snow, I mean, it's going to just be coated with this ice. So it will be very, very hazardous and also breezy for the most part as well. Fortunately, as we head into tonight, snow showers will stop at about midnight in Wausau, dip down to 23. And then rain and snow will stop around 8 p.m., so a little bit earlier for Amory, dip down to 18. And then from there, it gets a little bit better. We're actually going to have a fairly nice week from here. So we'll see a chance for some kind of scattered showers throughout the state starting from Tuesday through Tuesday night and into Wednesday morning. Should bring some light snow, maybe some accumulation throughout central and northern portions, but only about 1 to 2 inches, like at most. So that's good. Highs will still be in the mid-30s there, maybe even lower 40s as we head into southern Wisconsin. And then as we head into Thursday, some sunshine comes out and actually stays there and actually will be a little bit cooler for Thursday, probably in the upper 20s, lower 30s, and then back up in the 30s and 40s as we head into Friday and the weekend. And we're just going to stay dry, very, very calm. So I'm happy to announce that the rest of this week is so much nicer, and we finally get to have a nice stretch where you get to dry out and calm down a little bit and actually bring in March with some nicer weather. So that's pretty much the gist of it. I mean, today is definitely the worst day. We'll have some flurries here and there on and off throughout the state Tuesday, Wednesday, but not too bad. So that is nice. I'm meteorologist Kara Foster.
All right, Kara, thank you so much. Appreciate you from Weatherology there. And Kara will be back a little bit later in the show as well, actually tomorrow's show. And we'll be having our forecast, though, throughout the show as well here on the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 8:39. As we said, rain continues here in the Madison area. Trying to dial up here a breaking news event. Just saw it not very long ago. Aaron, it's not just the board here. Apparently, the old iPhone also having some trouble this morning. Just came across my phone that the Lazary family is selling their interest in the Milwaukee Bucks, and then all of a sudden, it will pop up on the phone. So I had this trouble when I woke up this morning. So not sure. Maybe I'll just have to power it down and power it back on as. Sometimes that happens, but in any event, we can move on to it. But be aware of that. It appears, as I said, that the Lazary family has sold their share of the Milwaukee Bucks. We'll have more on that as the day and morning progresses here. Want to get back to this issue that we were talking about before we went to break and before we went to weather there. This story from over the weekend that a delegation, and I had it wrong because I had the story in the other room. So I had the 21 right. It was another letter. It had over 100 signatures on it. It was 21. So who we're talking about here is our esteemed, tongue-in-cheek congressman from Wisconsin, Glenn Grothman, a Wisconsin Republican in the House of Representatives, one of 21 House Republicans who signed the letter last Saturday to the Department of Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg. The letter demanded Buttigieg provide all documents from the investigation into the East Palestine, Ohio train derailment that spilled toxic chemicals. The problem is the investigation is being conducted by the National Transportation Safety Board, and the NTSB is an independent agency, not a part of the Department of Transportation. Congress made the NTSB independent precisely to prevent what many Republicans are now attempting, turning a disaster into a political football, cynically using human suffering and environmental damage for partisan gain. You know, it's not surprising to see Republicans trying to distract attention from their history of supporting deregulation, including delaying, weakening, and killing rail industry safety rules, actions that may have led to the East Palestine disaster. Rather than make a serious attempt to govern, extremist Republicans like these seek to intentionally mislead their base voters on how government works. So this is just quintessential modern-day Republican Party. They're upset about something. They think they know what they're talking about. They fire off the letter, and I actually have the letter in front of me here. This letter that they fired off to Secretary Pete Buttigieg: the Committee on Oversight and Accountability is investigating the ongoing crisis that began February 3rd, 2023 in East Palestine, Ohio. A Norfolk Southern freight train's derailment and the ensuing response released highly toxic chemical materials into the air, and it goes on to kind of just say what we all know what actually happened. Since the American people deserve answers as to what caused the derailment, and the Department of Transportation needs to provide an explanation for its leadership's apathy in the face of this emergency, we request documents and information regarding DOT's response to the East Palestine, Ohio train derailment and ensuing environmental and public health emergency. And here's the kicker line: the fallout from the Ohio train derailment continues to develop. DOT's National Transportation Safety Board issued a preliminary report on February 23rd, which stopped short of declaring a concrete cause of the derailment. Well, hello, National Transportation Safety Board is not part of DOT. And it's signed by esteemed people in Congress, such as Jim Jordan, Paul Gosar, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Lauren Boebert, and our very own Glenn Grossman. So there you go. These folks really think they know government. Really think they know it. They thought they had Pete Buttigieg by the short hairs. Secretary Pete, cool as always. This is what Secretary Pete Buttigieg had to say when they tweeted this out at him. Here's what he said after he was attacked. After these esteemed members of the Republican caucus, including Glenn Grossman, wanted answers from the National Transportation Safety Board, which they said is part of the Department of Transportation. Pete Buttigieg just said this. He said, quote, "I am alarmed to learn that the chair of the House Oversight Committee thinks that the NTSB is part of our department. NTSB is independent and with good reason. Still, of course, we will fully review this and respond appropriately." Pete Buttigieg, this guy is fantastic. Doesn't get angry, doesn't call names, just says, you know, I am alarmed to learn that the chair of the House Oversight Committee thinks the National Transportation Safety Board is part of the Department of Transportation. You know, they're independent, as it turns out. Republicans trying to make hay of this disaster. Meanwhile, and we don't do this often, but meanwhile, Fox News had something to say about this. And I believe when you have it queued up, Mr. Zombers, just let me know, do we have time for this cut from Fox News? All right, we're going to go to this. This is Fox News on the Ohio train derailment over the weekend.
The White House.
Right. Speaking of the White House, apparently regulations regarding train safety were changed during the Trump administration. This particular railroad and others lobbied President Trump to dismantle an Obama-era rule that would have required railroads to update their braking systems. And apparently the Obama administration had pushed for it to govern transportation of hazardous materials after about 500,000 barrels of crude were dumped. But ultimately, the Trump administration undid that and said the costs exceeded the benefits.
At the White House.
Right.
You wonder where that was from? That was Fox News, everybody. My source on that cut was Fox News. Fox News saying, reporting, confirming it was the Trump administration who changed the rules that were put in with Obama to make rail safety better. And here's the kicker over the weekend. As I say, we're always being watched. Because guess what Pete Buttigieg's department did do, along with NTSB? They've conducted a thorough investigation. And guess what they found? They found a video, my friends. A video that leads right back to the Trump administration and the problems that he caused. We'll tell you about it after this. Stay with us. You're on the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show. The time is now 8:50. Mr. Zommers, even without a microphone, still finding his voice via the music. Nicely done, Mr. Zommers. He is still having technical difficulties over there. We'll see if we get him back. If not, we'll have him call in again. Have him call in next hour and join, because I miss him. I mean, I hear him. I see him. I miss having him on the air. So we'll work on that. But nice job both with the music there. Talked about this issue in East Palestine, Ohio, this train derailment. First of all, House Oversight Committee, chaired by Jim Jordan and featuring Wisconsin's very own Glenn Grothman, sent a letter to Pete Buttigieg, Secretary of Transportation, U.S. Transportation, demanding that he get the NTSB, the National Traffic Safety Board, all over this. Demanding that answers be given. And Secretary Buttigieg responds, I'm surprised to learn the chair of the House Oversight Committee doesn't understand the NTSB is not a part of my department. But hey, we're going to do everything we can anyway. And so Pete Buttigieg was on the ground over the weekend. And he has been working as much as they can work together with NTSB, National Transportation Safety Board. But guess what? The National Transportation Safety Board released its preliminary report late on Thursday. Again, we were off on Friday, so didn't have a chance to talk about this. This source, CBS News, the report over the weekend. So the Republicans in Congress demand answers from the National Transportation Safety Board. They want Pete Buttigieg to get them those answers. Pete Buttigieg says, hey, guys, appreciate that, but if y'all didn't know, that little board, National Transportation Safety Board, is not a part of my department. But hey, we'll work with them as much as we can. Meanwhile, the NTSB did release its preliminary report. The report partially focuses on surveillance video. You know those Ring doorbells that you have on? Guess what the NTSB did? It went around to every person in the neighborhood, said, you have a Ring doorbell or something like it. Can we take a look at the video? And they did. And this is what they found. The report focuses on surveillance video that showed sparks or flames coming from an axle about 20 miles before the train derailed. The NTSB said a sensor recorded a critical temperature of 253 degrees Fahrenheit. Alarms went off and automatic emergency braking kicked in. The four-page preliminary report, which says this incident was 100% preventable, zeroes in on train car number 23, which we now know as the central issue, as well as its wheel set and bearings, which continued to heat up for miles while unbeknownst to the crew. Quote, at each detector, the recorded temperature of the bearings increased, said NTSB Chair Jennifer Homaday. The NTSB revealed the train passed over three detectors, which are sort of infrared sensors on the tracks. The last one, positioned on the east side of Palestine, Ohio, sent the crew an audible alert to stop because of the high temperature. During the deceleration, the wheel bearings failed. Car number 23 derailed and train initiated an emergency brake application and came to a stop, unquote. So far, the chair of the NTSB said it has not found any wrongdoing by the crew or any issues with the track itself or those detectors, which continue to be scrutinized. Video captured by a doorbell camera miles from the derailment site showed sparks and possible flames along the rail. Although the company at the center of this disaster and its actions were not the primary focus of the report, Norfolk Southern is still very much under the microscope. Quote, the question is, was there any wrongdoing on Norfolk Southern's part? Hamady said, we'll have to evaluate that during our analysis. Well, of course there was. Right? Of course there was. That analysis phase is next for the NTSB, and at this point, it will look further into Norfolk Southern's actions and procedures and release any recommendations for the change. They've literally been caught on camera. Once again, the Republicans have backed themselves into a corner. High profile, raise the stakes, send a letter, attack Pete Buttigieg. Show yourselves for the incompetent fools that you are because you don't understand what agencies belong to what department in the government. But, you know, hey, Buttigieg says, we'll work with you anyway. We'll get answers for you. Probably reached out and just said to NTSB, hopefully you guys are working on this. If we can be of help, let us know. NTSB says, we got it. The sensors showed that this axle, this bearings were overheating, and it was caught on camera on a Ring doorbell 10 miles before the train derailed. And according to the preliminary report by the NTSB, probably one of the reasons it wasn't detected when the alarms went off is because they didn't have enough crew. Well, guess how that happened? The Trump administration relaxed many of those rules during that era. Obama administration had put in more safety measures for rail, but Trump said no. Let's just let the companies do whatever the heck they want. There were two crew members on that train. Two. And if you listen to Rick Wilson, pardon me, if you listen to Rick Smith here on the Civic Media Radio Network, he talked about this several weeks ago when the rail strike was going on or proposed to go on. And the fact that part of the reason the rail workers wanted to strike was because they said, we do not feel safe. We do not feel what we're doing is safe because you're making the trains longer and heavier and harder to stop. You're cutting crew because of labor shortages and you're not willing to pay workers enough. Therefore, people don't want to work in the rail industry, but you're doing more with less people and it is absolutely unsafe. And that's why they wanted to strike that, and also the fact they weren't getting paid days off for sick leave. It seems like a pretty reasonable request to me. And the Trump people said, nah, now we're fine. And here on Fox News over the weekend, Fox News is reporting, and we played it for you just a minute ago. It was the Trump administration, the very people that Marjorie Taylor Greene bowed down to, the very people that Jim Jordan bowed down to, the very person they want as the 2024 Republican nominee for president, once again, Donald J. Trump, is the one that relaxed these safety measures, reversed what Obama and Biden did to keep us safe, and now it's them, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Jim Jordan, and Glenn Grothman, who are trying to make hay. Don't let them get away with it. Even Fox News says so. Back with more on the Republican Party and Wisconsin and Trump. Don't miss it with Paul Ryan after this on the Todd Allbull Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.